Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
In the Bay of Bengal, between India and Myanmar, there is an island roughly the size of Manhattan. From above, it looks like a floating emerald forest, pristine, untouched, beautiful. But this paradise hides a deadly secret. For thousands of years, a tribe has called this island home. They've watched ships pass. They've seen helicopters circle ahead. They've witnessed the modern world creep closer and closer. And they've made one thing absolutely clear. Come to our shores and you will die. In 2018, a young American missionary paddled toward this forbidden beach, Bible in hand, convinced he could bring salvation to what he called Satan's last stronghold. The fishermen who dropped him off watched from their boat as the tribe dragged his body across the sand. Tonight we descend into one of Earth's last truly forbidden places, where arrows fly faster than words, and the penalty for trespassing is death. Hello, friend. Welcome to the haunted bunker, where mysteries hide. I'm Shane Waters. And tonight, my brother Josh takes us to North Sentinel Island, a place so dangerous that the Indian government has made it illegal to even approach. The people who live there have remained completely isolated from the modern world, and they've killed to keep it that way. This is the story of the world's most forbidden island.
I read one of our postcards while I'm getting my laptop out here. This one says the Oregon coast. It's from Debbie. We kidnapped Michelle and dragged her to the beach for a long weekend. Hello from PNW or Oregon. FYI, I'm open to other kidnapping/friend nappings. If y'all want to take me somewhere, miss ya. Meech.
Oh, that's cute.
And it's got a little whale tail. Hey, we was talking about whale tail.
That's what
long peeking out of the pants. It looks like a humpback whale. Those are one of my favorite animals. Their numbers have been increasing. They were endangered, but because of anti-hunting laws and et cetera, and just healthier oceans, their numbers have really increased. Makes me happy.
That is awesome.
All right, friend. It's time to descend. Tonight, we're traveling to one of the most remote and dangerous places on Earth. Josh has been researching a tribe that has successfully kept the entire modern world at bay with arrows.
Josh, did you bring a mystery for us
today? I did. Let me get it.
From India. From India.
India. Well, you may find it hard to believe that in our modern world with drones, satellites, cameras, AI, and all our other technologies, there could be places on Earth we don't know much about. Aside from the depths of our oceans, there remain a few places on land that we still don't know a lot about. Most of them are hidden due to dense jungles, but some remain unknown because it's just plain dangerous to go there.
Enough about Kim.
Her basement. Well, one of the most dangerous and deadly places is an island located in the Bay of Bengal between Myanmar and India. The island is called North Sentinel Island, and it is not only forbidden for any outsider to go there, it is quite literally deadly for those who try. North Sentinel Island is roughly the size of Manhattan, and it is protected by law to keep outsiders from even attempting to venture there, even though that doesn't always stop them. While a big part of the island's forbiddenness is to keep the inhabitants safe from outside diseases, it's actually us outsiders who have the most to benefit from it. On the island, there lives a tribe of mostly uncontacted people called the Sentinelese, and we know next to nothing about them. Only that they have no interest in anything off of their island, and that they have zero hesitation in killing anyone who dares to attempt to visit them. The tribe is the most isolated people in the world, and live as hunter-gatherers in their densely forested home. They are nomadic on the island and either live in large, multi-family huts or smaller open tents that they can easily relocate as they forage. They also use small, narrow boats to fish in the shallow water surrounding the island, and they are such ingenious conservationists that there is little evidence of their presence on the island aside from the houses that they live in. What we do know about the island's inhabitants comes from researchers who have monitored them from boats nearby, always making sure that they are far enough away that the arrows can't make it to their boats. We don't even know what these people actually call themselves because of the lack of contact. Even their language is mostly unknown. What we do know is thanks to neighboring tribes from nearby islands who in the past did have some trade with the Sentinelese, and they tell us that the people are called the Chiadaquoquea. And to the best of our knowledge, the inhabitants are actually thriving on their island home and have every right to be leery of any outsiders. In the past, they were always aware of the neighboring islands, which were colonized when the British took over India. They knew that those islands' inhabitants were nearly wiped out due to disease and slave trade. Among those reasons, they were also aware that those once pristine islands, once the British came to them, invaded them, had their forests cut down and built upon by the White Devil. Even today, one of the neighboring islands, North Nicobar Island, is under threat of development. The Indian government is laying plans to completely destroy that island's natural landscape by cutting down over 3 million trees and building a giant port city in its place, dubbed the Hong Kong of India. And I want to be clear that the inhabitants of North Sentinel Island are not an aggressive type per se. Among one another, they are a peaceful people, known to be happy, healthy, and living in communion with nature. And their estimated population is anywhere from about 50 to 200 people. The only time they become aggressive is when they are defending their home, as anyone would, especially when you know that it can lead to mass deaths, cultural extinction, and/or slavery. North Sentinel Island is about 5 miles by 4 miles and is predominantly flat, with the highest elevation at around 400 feet near the center. So there's no mountains or anything on the island, just a slight incline. And from the images I've seen, it is a gorgeous island. It looks like a giant floating forest surrounded by a small beach and coral reefs and has several natural harbors. It is part of a volcanic archipelago and have suffered from earthquakes and tsunamis in the past. The most recent primary contact we've had with them has been welfare checks after some natural disasters. Even then, it is to check from a distance and to deliver food and supplies, but only ones that they would naturally have, like coconuts. You know, they're not dropping off like boxes of Band-Aids and, you know, stuff like that to them. But even then, after those disasters, the helicopters that drop supplies from the air returned with arrows shot through them. Now, the weapons of the Sentinelese are one of their traditions that have changed because of outsiders. What were once stone arrowheads, thanks to metal that has been washed ashore, they now have arrowheads that are strong enough to pierce boats and helicopters, so they don't actually have the means to mine metal or anything, but, you know, any shipwrecks that have washed up to their shore, they've made use of the metals from those. One of the earliest contacts with the tribe dates to the 1800s, when a British officer led a team to the island to establish contact. Some of the team were neighboring tribes from other islands who were forcibly taken as slaves to that island. When they got to North Sentinel Island, they did find the homes, but they were all completely abandoned. And after 2 days of searching, the invading White Devils did find an elderly couple and 2 children, all of which were immediately kidnapped. The older members of the tribe died shortly after they left the island from disease, and the children were taken back and dropped off on the island with gifts. They also most likely were infected with various Western diseases and probably transmitted those diseases to the tribe. Again, we don't know because there was no contact.
Right.
Essentially, the British went to the island and did everything possible that you could think of to make the inhabitants afraid of them and white people, and just pissed them off. Rightfully so. They were literal disease-ridden monsters who kidnapped children and the elderly, and who in their right mind would be welcoming of that? One of the more recent and illegal attempts at contact was actually in March of this year, when a freaking social media influencer made it to the island for a few minutes to film content for his followers. Ugh. He did, in fact, make it to the island, but he didn't see anyone. But before he left, he put a can of Diet Coke and some coconuts on the beach. Yeah, because those people really, they're going to risk you coming there and spreading your diseases and illnesses to them so they can try Diet Coke for the first time.
Could have gotten killed.
Yeah, he's lucky he did not die.
Yeah.
He has gained followers by traveling to dangerous locations and filming himself there. So for social media content, he put the entire Sentinelese tribe at risk of annihilation by a disease he could have been carrying. They literally have no immunity to any of our diseases or illnesses. Even the flu is strong enough to wipe out a large part of their population, if not all of them. Also, he could film content. I hate that.
Yeah. It's disrespectful.
The Sentinelese aren't the only ones in danger of unwanted contact. The tribe isn't just using those weapons to threaten. They can, and have, used them to kill invaders. In 2006, 2 fishermen who were illegally fishing in the waters surrounding the island fell asleep in the night, and during that time, their small boat became unanchored and they washed ashore to be greeted by the island's inhabitants. Both men were killed and buried on the beach. Another was in 2018. Oh, Lord have mercy, bless his heart. When an American evangelical missionary went to the island to convert them to Christianity, he called the island Satan's last stronghold on earth. At least he was considerate enough, I'm using that lightly, to have gotten vaccinated and quarantined before he illegally went to the island, unwanted and uninvited. He visited the island for the first time on November 15th, 2018, when 2 fishermen dropped him close by. From their boat, he paddled using a small canoe to the island, but he only stayed a few minutes before being chased off by the angry tribe. But the very next day, driven by his evangelical missionary mission, he returned and received mixed greetings. Along with his waterproof Bible, he began singing worship songs at them. I say at them because they didn't understand our language, so they don't know what the hell he's saying. He's just croaking out some gospel songs, right. And they're like, what the hell's this guy doing? Go home. But that didn't last long either, and he was chased off again after an arrow was shot through his Bible as he was holding it to his chest, almost piercing his chest, but it just got his Bible instead. Then his final visit was the next day on November 17th. He again made it back on the island from the fishing boat, and shortly after, the fishermen witnessed the Sentinelese dragging his dead body to the beach and burying it there in front of them. There were a couple attempts to retrieve his body, but they were all met with hostility. Even a murder charge has come of it, but it can't be enforced. The evangelical missionaries who trained him cast him as a martyr afterwards, but they were publicly condemned by their deadly efforts to push their agenda. Even the victim's father blames them for brainwashing his son with their extreme Christian beliefs. We can relate to that today in America. Extreme Christian nationalism. I've heard of her.
I'm waiting for you to tell me that there was a Kirby salesman that showed up on the island.
Oh, I'm sure. He's still there. He won't leave.
I got a free bottle of
this will suck
spray.
Up all the sand. Look at the dust.
We got one.
Oh my God. The inhabitants of North Sentinel Island have made it abundantly clear that they do not want invaders on their island. Some of the neighboring indigenous tribes have had their populations dwindle to down to 99% dead or have become completely extinct because of colonial white devils. Now, who would welcome that to their doorstep? I was writing this and I was picturing. Just imagine you had a perpetual intruder coming into your house, and each time they do manage to break inside, either some of your family goes missing or the rest gets sick from an unknown illness. All so they can leave you a can of Diet Coke and some coconuts and enjoy a little Christian jam session. Ugh. Hell, a woman was just killed here in Indiana just for trying to use keys to open the door of a mistakenly wrong house to get in to clean it. Shot dead through a locked door with zero warning given to her from the occupants of the house. And she was only trying to use keys for like not even a minute, like 30 seconds. And she got shot for it. No warning was given, no nothing, just jingle, jingle. First off, if someone's breaking into your house, they ain't using keys to do it. That should be your first clue. Well, currently, there is a hands-off, eyes-on policy regarding North Sentinel Island. Its value as the last uncontacted and pure civilization is worth more to the surrounding powers than any potential benefit from further attempts at contact.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
The Indian Navy now also patrols the water surrounding the island in an effort to prevent any further illegal attempts at contact. I like the idea of this island because I enjoy knowing that on our big planet, there is at least one place where indigenous people have been left the hell alone and allowed to continue to live as they wish in their own home. If only that had been the case, imagine how much more connected to nature our planet would be if they were the ones our ancestors drafted ideas from. But I'm sure it wouldn't be consumerism, that's for sure. But yeah, that is North Sentinel Island, the last uncontacted tribe
that
we are aware about. Yeah, it's a cute little island. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really big. It's just a little speck in the sea, kind of almost in the middle between India and the other one that starts with the M, Malaysia, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was, you know, again, there's minimal contact. So what pictures we do have are like from drones flying over the island. So you just see the island itself or, you know, blurry photos of the actual tribe people
right.
from faraway boats. But, I mean, they are rightfully extremely hostile towards outsiders. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first ones they get kidnapped some old people and babies and bring back the two babies. And, you know, they probably didn't know what happened to the old people because they don't speak any language but their own. So they're like, well, I guess those people are just gone forever now. Right. Meanwhile, they're dead somewhere. Yeah, when the British guy did go to the island the first time, they were able to find the empty houses. You know, the Sentinelese were hiding from them. But they also found an old man's bones in the, like, roots of a tree. And they just assumed that not, like, some of them thought it might have been a threat or, you know, oh, barbaric. But a lot of people now believe that that might have just been a way that they honor their dead. Like, he might have been, like, a chief if they have that type of society or, you know, it, not a threat, more of a something nice.
Like lifting him up or something.
To be one, returned one with nature. I mean, when you live on an island, you got to find something to do with the dead bodies when people die.
Well, it's interesting, too, that they don't, they're not sure how many people live there.
Yeah, I saw various numbers, 50 to 200, or some people assume 500, but, you know, you never know. A lot of people fit on the island of Manhattan. Yeah, what I found most fascinating about it is they've lived there for thousands and thousands of years, and the island, just looking at it, you could not tell that people live on it.
Right.
That's how in communion with nature they are.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
It is. And I think what's also interesting is that, like, from their perspective, like, that's the only life that they know. So they don't have any concept of what's happening of, you know,
outside of the island. I was, like, a little pissed off at that, you know, sad that he died. But, I mean, no one made you go to the island. Mm-mm. You just, because of
it. It's a risk that you have to be willing to take.
Yeah.
Well,
also we could give bring them the, have you heard the good word? No, they don't understand you.
Right. They
even
be left alone.
Yeah. Like, they've made it abundantly clear. We don't want you. Leave us alone.
Right.
I'm like, I'd start being aggressive too if I've multiple times have told people to leave us the hell alone and they keep showing up at my doorstep. I'm getting the bat.
Get the hell out of here.
No means no.
So is he still buried on the...
Yeah, no one's been able to retrieve his body or anything. Well, they buried him on the beach. They've, in the past, you know, like, I think in the 1970s, some humanitarian group dropped off several pigs on the island, and they killed those instantly and buried them in the sand, because they don't know what the hell that is. And pigs are very disease-ridden. Like, even here in near us, we have to get our pigs, you know, injected with antibiotics and other shit, because they will spread diseases and their meat will be tainted, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, you're going to leave one of the most disease-ridden animals on this isolated island. And pigs are horrible for the ecosystem. Like, a lot of islands, when colonial white devils would come, they'd bring cats, rats, and freaking pigs. And then all of a sudden, all the birds and all the other, like, animals that live on the island are decimated because the cats eat them, or the pigs will literally eat anything,
right?
And they just screw up the ecosystem. I'm like, that could have really messed up their entire way of life by dropping off them damn pigs. I'm glad they killed the suckers. They don't know what bacon is. Leave them alone.
Right.
Leave them alone.
North Sentinel Island, a place where time has stood still for thousands of years, where a people have successfully defended their home against colonial powers, missionaries, fishermen, and social media influencers alike. We like to think we've mapped every inch of this planet, that nothing remains undiscovered. But here, in the Bay of Bengal, is proof that some places refuse to be known. The Sentinelese have made their choice clear. They want to be left alone. And maybe, just maybe, we should respect that. After all, in a world that demands connection, there's something almost sacred about a people who've said no, who've drawn a line in the sand, literally, and defended it with their lives. Some mysteries aren't meant to be solved. They're meant to be left alone.
Are you having a good week, Josh?
I am. It's
good.
The weekend before Thanksgiving. Oh. My work week coming up is just 3 days, and then I get a 4-day weekend.
You're
and
good.
Oh, so excited. I've got everything I need for Thanksgiving dinner already bought. And usually the week of Thanksgiving, I like this weekend is the last, like, unless it's a dire, desperate need, I won't be going into stores until after the new year.
Oh, yeah.
Because now it's officially holiday shopping season where people are even more rude and inconsiderate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I just don't have the patience for it. I'll get out my lipstick knife and stab their cartwheel.
And we're having Thanksgiving at my house.
Yes.
And hopefully my two little pups get along good with all of our family.
Oh, they will.
Coming.
Our aunt and our cousins joining us.
They're tickled to pieces.
I'm excited.
They'll be tickled. We're going to have some good food. We're going to have fun.
It's going to be making turkey dressing. I'm making cranberry salad.
Mm.
I love that with the pineapple and the pecans.
I don't like cranberry salad. At least I didn't the last time I had it. Maybe I do.
I do the whole berry cranberry sauce, and then I do crushed pineapple, pecans, and Cool Whip. Some people add marshmallows to it. I feel like that's gross. No, I don't put marshmallows
in it. I tried to try some stuff like that. Every once in a while.
It's just something new. Grandma was just, we always did just the canned cranberry. And yeah. I love that. Like, it goes good with the turkey. But, you know, when she died, it really made me depressed to cook stuff. I'm now, I've grieved enough to where it doesn't. But I'm like, you know, I don't have to make everything exactly the way she did it. I can make things fancy, as she would call it.
Yeah. What type of dessert are we having?
We are having butterfinger pie, cherry pie, apple crisp, and I'm making you a pumpkin pie, but this year I'm making mini pumpkin pies.
Ooh.
Because I figured I like a good ratio of crust to pie.
Yes.
So that it's kind of like when I make brownies, I make them in a muffin tin.
Yeah, me
so
too.
Every bite's
like
a middle and a crust.
Yes.
And so these, you know, it'll just be a good balance
good
of crust
balance.
And filling.
Yeah.
I like that. Cuter.
I like it.
I feel like mini pies, you can eat more of them and you're
Oh,
I just had a couple.
Just a little pie.
Whereas if you eat half a pumpkin pie, you might feel a little guilty.
Right.
Like, should have saved some. And easier for people to take home. I got us a 25-pound turkey. I got the biggest damn one they had left.
Where'd you go?
A Walmart.
Walmart?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was afraid Kroger wouldn't have a big enough selection. Well, it was just the other day, too. So, you know, I was worried all they would have would be small turkeys, which now they had a lot of big ones. I guess people are intimidated by making a big turkey.
Oh, I bet.
Which, you know, if you've never done it, I can imagine. But I'm an old pro at this. I'm an old whore, washed up whore.
Yeah,
I've made it plenty. It's easy to mess up. You can undercook it. Most people overcook it, and then you get the turkey, you got to take a drink of water for every bite you do. But I do a dry brine with salt and in the fridge for a day or two, and it moisturizes and tenderizes the meat so you don't get dry turkey breast. And then I put it in a roaster.
Do you remember that one year that our aunt decided that she was going to pour Coke on the turkey? And it turned to a mush.
A congealed.
Yes.
Yeah. She was in her head. She's not a cook.
To say the least.
She had seen people do that, which you can pour Coke on ham.
Yes.
Grandma did that before, brown sugar, Coke, and pineapple juice. You can put it on a ham. It's fine for a ham. A ham is a lot thicker, denser meat. Don't put it on no poultry. No soda goes on poultry. I've seen people do Mountain Dew. Disgusting. And that's why I make Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinner, because people be trying things. And you don't try new things on Thanksgiving.
No.
I did last year with the cranberry salad for the first time, but I was confident in my skills that it would turn out good.
Yeah.
And I know I'm one of the only me and I think our mom eats cranberry sauce. So I was like, you know, if other people don't like it.
It's not a main dish.
Yeah. It's just a whoever wants it side dish. And I mainly make it for myself. So I was like, I know I'll like it, so I'll do it. But no, this isn't, the holidays are not the time to be trying. If someone asks you, hey, bring your macaroni and cheese, that means bring the same thing you've brought previously. Don't be trying no new recipes.
Don't put no bacon in it.
No additives.
No,
nothing.
No.
I saw one. It was a Friendsgiving, and this gay guy was in charge of the macaroni and cheese, and the recipe had called for something called liquid gold, which I believe is Velveeta, Velveeta cheese. It was just like an old-timey recipe, and that's what they used to call it in the South, apparently. And he didn't know what that meant, so he Googled liquid gold, and it's a liquid vitamin supplement that's like different vitamins and greens and stuff mixed. And it called for just a small amount. He put the whole bottle in there and turned that macaroni and cheese green. It looked like vomit with cheese on top of it. Now, I'm like, I would have kicked him out.
At one point, I would have kicked him out of the house. At what point would he have? I'm not a cook, but I would have questioned why I would be putting vitamins.
Yeah, no, it's on the recipe.
Oh, yeah, he just put his vitamin in.
I'm like, my God. Cooking ain't that hard.
No.
I mean, I started at 6, so I've got a little bit of a, you know, an edge.
Right.
But I feel like it's a lot of common sense. This goes with this ingredient, you know, these will be good together.
One year at our Friendsgiving, one of my friends had never made a cheesecake before, and she decided she's going to make a lemon cheesecake.
Oh, God.
She brought it, and there's just wonderful smell of lemon in the air as I walked into our friend's house.
She used non-edible lemon oil.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was an essential lemon oil.
Oh, my God.
And as soon as I bit into it, I could tell.
This ain't to be eaten.
It was like this rubbery and this sudden lemon, like, immediately hit your senses, like, in your nose and everything. Well, because
that stuff smells like lemon, but it don't taste like lemon.
No. And it's unedible.
Oh,
like,
my God.
As soon as it, like, touched your lips, it's like you sniffed lemon and it burns everything.
Yeah.
And it's...
You're not like, supposed to eat it.
You can't eat it. Yeah, no. And so I was the first person who had tried it. And so I'm like...
Something's wrong.
Spit it out.
Something's wrong.
Something's wrong. And I was like, okay, I should warn everyone because this is bad, bad, bad. But then I was like, but you know, I don't want to be the only one who tried it. You know, because
someone else has to experience this.
I don't want to be the only one. So I waited for my friend Andy.
He loves his desserts.
Yeah. So I saw him at the end of the table and he like took a bite of as soon as like, and I can't even describe this to you, but as soon as it touches your lip, it's like you snorted it. He touched his lip and he glanced right at me.
That ain't right.
And I like started laughing.
He's like,
and I was like, something's wrong with that cheesecake. And then our friend looked at us and was like, well, see, I made two and I know that the first one wasn't right. So I assume that this one didn't turn out right either.
You still brought it?
That's what I thought too. And I was like, gosh, dang it. Why did you just not bring it?
Oh my God.
She's like, don't eat it because it's bad. And I was like, well, I mean, you can't eat it.
What'd you use?
Not edible. It's not.
No, that's where the Grandma Foster and me, as soon as I took a bite, I'd spit it out and made a scene like, who the hell brought this lemon shit? You're trying to kill me?
Yeah, she said that she did two things wrong. One of them was she overcooked the cheese. Like, she way overcooked it. She cooked it for way too long. And two,
I'll make it rubbery.
It was very rubbery. And two, she used like unedible essential oil that she just used.
Those aren't for even scent. In the same aisle. Grocery's on one side of the place, and those are by the candles and shit.
This is the stuff that she had in the house because she like uses it to like scent her house. And she's just like, oh, it calls for lemon. Lemon, I can use my essential oil lemon.
Just use lemons. Go buy lemons or the big green bottle of lemon juice.
And in case you don't know, she like used extra of what it called for too. So, I mean, when I tell you that as soon as it touches your, like just barely touches your
imagine.
Lip, burns your mouth.
Well, most cheesecakes take a little bit of lemon juice. It just complements the cream cheese and adds that little bit of tang to it. But, ugh.
It was bad.
Nope. That's why I don't eat a lot of other people's cooking because I don't trust them.
Needless to say, she doesn't bring cheesecake anymore.
I ain't getting food poisoning because someone wanted to be Betty Crocker.
No. All right, guys. Well, join us over on our bonus episode unless you have something else, Josh.
I don't. On our bonus, we've got a couple more postcards and I brought a couple little new snackies to try.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys over there.
Bye.
The lights are dimming. The bunker door is closing.
But the mysteries, they're just getting started. I'm Shane Waters. Stay curious, stay skeptical, and stay a little bit scared. Good night, friend.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.